Hello and welcome to Quidd Achievers Markets Uncut podcast, your weekly insight into the topics and trends that we have been exploring for you here at Quidd Achievers. Remember, so you don't miss future episodes, be sure to hit the follow button on whichever streaming platform you are listening on, or by following the hashtag QCB comment on LinkedIn. I'm your host, Andrew Cartwright, investment manager based out of our Birmingham office. And this week, I'm delighted to be joined by regular commentator and head of fixed interest research, Richard Carter, and by senior equity analyst, Will Howlett. Welcome, Richard and Will. So despite the NTD pause on widespread tariffs, we still saw a lot of volatility in financial markets last week as tensions between the US and China continued to rise. Well, this did ease somewhat following the announcement that smartphones and computers would be excluded from tariffs for the time being. And it perhaps came as no great surprise that a sharp pickup in Chinese exports was reported last week, as many companies have ramped up export activity amidst all the uncertainty. Now, no doubt we will see volatility continue both on the downside and upside as negotiations continue in the run-up to the end of that 90-day pause. Now, last week was shortened by the long Easter break, but aside from all the ongoing news surrounding tariffs, there were some important reports released last week that could have implications for the trajectory for further interest rate cuts by the key Western central banks. Now, Richard, just starting off with the US, we had various reports released, including the US consumer confidence figures, an update on inflation expectations, retail sales, employment data, and we also had an update on the US economy from Jay Powell, the chair of the US Federal Reserve Bank. And it does seem to be quite a lot of tension building between the Trump administration and the US Central Bank. How significant do you think the news throw from last week was in terms of the outlook for US interest rates, and how did the financial markets react?
Well, we're still in a sort of, a bit of calm before the storm at the moment, Andy. We're waiting for the sort of impact of the tariffs to come through. At the moment, you know, you're seeing a bit of front loading going on in some areas. So those Chinese export numbers you mentioned, but also, you know, US retail sales were relatively strong. But the hard data is generally for now holding up okay. So there's not been any sort of big rise in unemployment yet. But, you know, at some point, the impact of all the uncertainty and all the sort of, you know, flip-flopping around with tariffs is going to hit, but for now, all you can really see it in you know, is kind of in the survey data. So consumer confidence is weak, but as I say, we're waiting for that to spread into other areas of the economy. And then you've also got this situation going on, you know, like you mentioned, between the Fed and Donald Trump, which really isn't very good. I mean, you've had this big sell-off in US assets anyway, you know, stock market, bonds, currency, all doing pretty badly as people start to sort of reassess the kind of appeal of US assets, I guess. And having Trump undermine the Fed's credibility and potential independence is really not helpful for that. I mean, Powell's latest comments were relatively hawkish, basically saying, look, you know, it's too early for us to cut interest rates, the economy is still doing okay, and the potential impact of tariffs is going to be inflationary. So they're kind of on hold. But, you know, Donald Trump and his team would like to see them cut interest rates, which is just, I'm afraid, not going to happen at the moment. So it's not a great situation, and the financial market reaction is clear. You know, US assets are underperforming as people shift elsewhere.
And we also had a number of important announcements here in the UK, and that included the latest inflation figures, which showed a slight decrease down to 2.6%. And some employment data. Now, Richard, the Bank of England's Monetary Policy Committee doesn't meet again until May, but did any of those reports shed any light on what we can expect next month? And just to sort of round things off, the European Central Bank also met last week, and they do seem to be sort of well ahead of the curve compared to the UK and US, and again, cut interest rates. So, you know, what did you make of that decision?
Yeah, ECB is ahead of the curve, like you say. I mean, they've got the situation, unlike the US and the UK, I suppose, where inflation is really a bit more under control. You haven't had, you don't have a sort of, you know, big spike in inflation coming like we've got here. The currency's been quite strong. Oil prices down. You know, growth is it's okay, but nothing special. So they have been quite proactive in getting rates down. UK, slightly different situation. You have got, you know, now a stronger sterling. And last week's inflation numbers were actually pretty good, but we've got a bit of a spike in CPI coming over the next few months, unfortunately, really around all sort of rising fuel, rising sort of utility household bills that have all been going up, you know, particularly in April. So Bank of England's in a bit of a tough spot at the moment. However, the market does think they will be cutting interest rates at the next meeting in May. That's changed over the last few weeks because of the tariff announcements, and because they're, you know, that's expected to lead to slower global growth. And as I say, you know, with a slightly stronger currency and a falling oil price, that should dampen down inflation going forward. So, last week's CPI numbers were good. We've still got the spike coming, but hopefully we've got a Bank of England rate cut, you know, coming again pretty soon.
Thank you, Richard. And also very pleased to be joined once again by research analyst Will Howlett, who covers the global banking and financial sectors. And when we look back to when Trump first won the US presidential election, we saw many of the US banks and financial stocks rally strongly, and presumably on expectation that Trump's policies would lead to further deregulation. The world has changed a lot since then, as Trump's sweeping program of tariffs has continued to dominate news headlines and has sent financial markets into a tailspin. Now, Will, most people will understand the implications of tariffs on physical goods being imported and exported, and that's sort of very tangible. But perhaps what is less obvious is the impact on service sectors such as banking and other financial sectors. Could you give us an update on how the banking sector has fared in recent times, and in particular in the US, which has borne the brunt of the equity market sell-off, and where we've just had quarterly results released from the likes of Bank of America, JP Morgan, and Goldman Sachs?
Yeah, thanks, Andy. Yeah, as you mentioned, the banks were performing pretty strongly in the initial aftermath of the election, but then certainly dropped very sharply when the tariffs were first announced on the 2nd of April. They're obviously a lot bigger than anticipated, and based on the size of trade deficits rather than being truly reciprocal and perhaps easier to negotiate away maybe. So the US bank index fell about 15% in the aftermath, but has since partially recovered as Trump has paused for 90 days and offered those exemptions you've talked about. In terms of the banks themselves, there's no direct impact, but it's rather the secondary impact in terms of the effect on interest rate expectations and the outlook for the economy more broadly. So as Richard has mentioned, you know, US tariffs have added a huge degree of economic uncertainty. They've prompted consumers to rush purchases and companies to delay investments. That's hit lending and deal making, but it has meant that the volatility that we've seen has boosted trading desks. And you've seen that certainly in terms of the Q1 results from all the big US banks that have reported. So they've all kind of beaten expectations based on those trading revenues, but lending and particularly deal making were pretty subdued. So I think as we look forward, there's a lot to think about. The positives that you mentioned, the agenda for the deregulation that Trump won and potentially tax cuts, but it's the impact of tariffs is really overshadowing everything at the moment. And banks are very much confidence stocks. So they are financially leveraged to the economies that they work in. And so they really perform better in a less uncertain environment. So I think they would all welcome a more settled environment, which would likely mean lower trading revenues, but would see better balance with stronger growth from lending and also deal making, for example.
So you've touched upon the US banks, but of course the financial services banking sector makes up a very large proportion, not just of the US equity markets, but across global equity markets as a whole. And whilst many companies and subsectors just focus on their domestic economies, it is also very much a global market. Now, you mentioned the US banks, but has the impact spread over into other regions such as the UK and Europe? And I note that Nordea released their quarter results last week.
Yeah, I think that uncertainty is very much being felt in Europe. But as Richard mentioned, in contrast to the US, where there's that risk of stagflation, you are seeing more disinflation in Europe. And so the ECB has responded by cutting interest rates. So that is likely to stimulate borrowing and investments. So there is quite an interesting divergence between the ECB and the Fed at the moment. As you mentioned, the European banks have started to report. So Nordea, which is the largest bank in the Nordics, they gave a typically resilient performance. Their results were ahead of consensus, and they also reiterated their guidance for this year, despite all the obvious macro uncertainties. So we very much like Nordea, given its exposure to attractive banking markets. So the Nordic countries typically have stronger GDP growth and lower unemployment than Eurozone peers. And the diversification that they offer by both geography and also by business line means that they have pretty low earnings volatility, and they also generate very strong profitability. So a key measure of profits for banks is the return on tangible equity, and they delivered about 18% in the quarter, and they have very low loan losses as well. So a pretty defensive bank in the current environment. I think European markets have generally held up a bit better, with investors also reallocating out of US and into more international markets, just given the uncertainty that Trump and his tariffs entail. So there have been some more positive stories, I think, coming out of Europe.
And finally, Will, we have seen a lot of volatility across the various financial markets, equities and bonds, and that seems likely to continue. But in such turbulent conditions, we do typically find that there are winners and losers. And are there any areas that are a particular concern, or perhaps more interestingly, that are actually benefiting from what has been going on? And just looking forward, what will we be keeping a close eye on as we approach the end of Trump's 90-day pause on tariffs?
Yeah, we've seen weakness in banks and asset managers, for example, which we can certainly understand given their higher beta and the tariffs being, you know, the largest for a century. So I can certainly understand the sell-off that we've seen there. In terms of the positives, a couple of areas I would highlight: the exchanges and market data stocks. So I'm talking about stocks like Euronext, LSE Group, S&P Global in the US. They've all been pretty resilient in the sell-off. So they typically have a very high level of earnings visibility. So they offer recurring subscription type revenues for their data feeds, for example. But then they also benefit from volatility, as it encourages trading volumes that we've seen from the US banks that have reported, for example. So they have good earnings visibility. And then they are further defensive features that I'd highlight are the wide operating margins. So they're very strong levels of profitability. They're also pretty capital light businesses, and they generate strong cash flows. So the market tends to rotate towards these names when you have uncertainty that we're seeing at the moment. The other area I would highlight at the moment as relatively defensive within the financial sector is the insurance side as well. So particularly non-life stocks here. So insurance is typically a non-discretionary purchase. So it's mandated by law, for example, or your lender. So think of things like car insurance or buildings insurance. So there's a level of defensiveness in terms of their top line. And then insurers are also pretty conservative when they make investments. You know, they take in the premiums and they invest these, but they typically would invest in pretty safe assets. So there's a big skew towards investment grade bonds. So typically they're pretty defensive. We've had the insurance broker Marsh & McLennan reports their Q1 just before Easter, and typically resilient again there, even if their revenue growth was slightly below expectations, but they reiterated their guidance for this year for kind of mid-single digit revenue growth, further margin expansion and solid EPS growth. So we think that's pretty defensive. In terms of what to look forward to, I think it's all going to be about who wins Trump's ear, and is it the more moderate types in the Republican Party, or is it the hawks like Navarro and Lutnick, for example, who wins the day? Are these tariffs eased back? And you know, we can look forward to the more pro-business friendly parts of Trump's agenda, or are we going to be seeing these tariffs being kept on for an extended period of time? So that's what we'll be looking forward to, I think.
Will, thank you very much. And of course, to Richard for those great insights today and to you all for listening. Did you enjoy our discussions on the podcast today? We love to hear from our listeners. So please review the show wherever you're listening and share it on your socials and tag us at CoolToAchieveIt. To make sure you don't miss a future episode, tap the subscribe button. We'll be back next week. And in the meantime, head over to our website, www.coolachieveit.com, where you can read the accompanying market overview, as well as subscribe to our weekly comment newsletter. You can also stay up to date with our thoughts on markets, news, industry insights, and our upcoming events and webinars on our website or our social media pages. Finally, do you have any questions you'd like to ask one of our experts for our next podcast? Simply ask them via the weekly comments page on our website. We love to hear your questions. And that's it for today. So thank you again to Richard and Will for your time today, and to you all for listening. See you next time.